Good morning and welcome to the Shir. I renamed it Shavasar Batamas, Parshas Pinchas, and me because the word Simcha doesn't really match well with fast days, especially this one. So as I was looking through Parshas Pinchas for a pasuk or two that might be connected to Shavasar Batamas, I found this pasuk, Parak Chavtes, Pasuk Lamed Hey. Bayom HaShmini, on the 8th day, Atzeres Tiyeh Lachem, like a day of stopping it should be for you. Kol malachas havoda lo sasu. Don't do any malacha. And Rashi says on the above words, Bevakasha mikem, I'm asking from you, asuli suda katana, make me a small suda, kadesha ehene mikem, so that I could have enjoyment from you. Okay, what are we talking about? The mitzvah of Shmini Atzeres, adding that 8th day to the 7 days of Sukkos and prolonging the Yontif by one more day. So it's interesting to me that Hashem says, make this Suda for me, have this extra day of Yontif so that I can enjoy. How does Hashem enjoy our karbanos, especially our own personal sudos, cooked for us alone? Hashem doesn't need our food, he doesn't eat. Besides, he has enough karbanos from Klal Yisrael to last an eternity. So what it means is that Hashem enjoys when we spend time with him. And if we're singing Zmiris and saying Divrei Torah, Hashem really has nachas from us. The next pasuk continues and says that we should bring a par echad, an ayal echad, one cow and one ram. And all the other days of Sukkos, the korbanos were much more plentiful. So Rashi explains, what is this much smaller offerings? So it's a small special suda with just us and Hashem. And this is how Rashi explains it. Hisakvuli ma'at od, delay for me a bit longer, meaning stay with me another day. V'lashon chiba huzeh, and it's like a lashon of love for us. Kavanim ha'neftarim me'aviyim, like children that are separating from their father. Who and the father, Omer Lahem, says to them, Kasha alai predaschem. It's hard for me that you're separating from me. Ikfu od yom achad, stay one more day. And my aunt, Rebbe Tzimlea Open in Baltimore, explained this concept so well. She said, you know, when you make a chasana, you make a big fancy feast for everybody and the community and friends from out of town, and everybody comes. But then, after everybody goes home, there's a smaller meal. Little coffee and cake at the kitchen table with just the really close members of the family. See, after the big Suda, a small Suda, just for the most intimate members of the family. And I thought that was a very good way to understand it. Now, there are two more questions. Of all the many exciting events in Parshas Pinchas, why was I drawn to this one seemingly straightforward commandment to add another day to Yontif? And number two, what might this specific mitzvah have to do with a said fast day? So I'll answer both questions on a very personal level. I was born on Shmini Atzeres, and Hashem has been good to me, but some parts of my life were quite a chorban. Still, about 20 years ago, I had a life-changing realization. It occurred to me, my birthday is Shmini Atzeres, and that's a sign that Hashem loves me, that he's keeping me close, that he wants me to stay with him extra. Just a little bit longer. It's as if Hashem is saying to me lovingly, when I challenge you, you turn to me. And when you turn to me with your tehillim and sometimes tears, I feel close to you. But suppose a child starts drifting away from a parent, not even because of any conflict, simply because the child is growing up. Child or the teenager is spending more time sleeping or running around with friends. Or maybe the children are even more grown up. They've gotten married and are focused on the new person in their lives a few years later. They're managing households of their own, Baruch Hashem. So first of all, us mothers need to remind ourselves, these are all normal and healthy phases of life. And if the child has drifted because of alienation, keep in mind, ma shelo yasa haseichel yasa hazman. What logic doesn't do, what seichel doesn't do, time will do. And Meretz Hashem, they'll be back. But as a mother, you know, when the children drift away for whatever reason, you miss the connection. And sometimes the nostalgia hurts a little, right? All normal. One day, you get a phone call. Ima, please daven for us. We're on the way to the hospital, Baruch Hashem. Or the other kind of phone call, Chas V'Shalom. Ima, this is what's going on. Please daven for us that everything should work out in the best way. And what do? Stop everything you're doing. You pick up your tehillim and you daven with every fiber of your being that Hashem should send your child whatever Yeshua is needed. So allow me to ask you, in these moments of worry for your child about a serious problem or even concerned that an impending birth should go quickly and smoothly, are you happy that your child is suffering? Again, are you happy that your child is suffering? Of course not. So what exactly are you feeling as you daven to Hashem on their behalf? Their distress brings them closer to you. because they know no one cares for them like a mother, and you realize that your love for them is deeper than words could ever articulate. You care so much. So now that I've got into all that, do you see why I feel Shmini Atzeres is a fitting birthday for me? I have many beautiful brachos in my life. I have gifts from Hashem, and I have nachas, and I've been through stuff. And some of that stuff is ongoing because Zechayim, we're here to be tested and to grow from the tests. But once I discovered during a very hard time many years ago that Hashem really and truly loves me and really just wants me to stay close, I don't feel rejected when things are very difficult. Hashem knows that when things go perfectly smoothly, we tend to disconnect a little. We're like, we got this, thank you very much. And then life starts unraveling a little and we're like, we don't got this. Hashem, help. Right? Okay, so now let's talk about Klal Yisrael suffering as a nation ever since Shavuot HaBetamaz, so many thousands of years ago. Shavuot HaBetamaz was the day that the Romans broke through the protective walls of Yerushalayim. And after that, it was just a matter of time, 3 weeks, as we know, until the Beis HaMikdash itself was burned down and completely destroyed. And that's what I'd like to zoom in on today. The breaking of the walls, being poritz geder, bursting through the fence. When someone is poritz geder, when they burst through the fence of protection, there's always trouble. Just by the way, in Eretz Yisrael, Simchas Torah and Shmini Atzeres are actually celebrated on the same day, and that's exactly what Hamas did on October 7th. They were poritz geder big time, and no one needs reminders of what happened next. So what do we place our protective fences around? So for our bodies, it's tznius. Our technology, it's strong filters. Outside influences, but standards in our homes, what we will and won't let past our front doors, shalom bayis, by keeping things private between husband and wife. That's what it says in Pirkei Avos, asu siyag laTorah, make a fence around the Torah. It means a safeguard, and our chachamim do this for us. My aunt, Rebbetzin Leah Open, gave an example. She said, really, Erev Pesach, we're really allowed to eat chametz until chatzos, but nobody does that. The chachamim instituted a geder that by 10, 11 a.m., no more chametz. It's a safeguard so that you won't even come close to going over the time. Stop before the time. And there are many other such safeguards, and we're meant to keep them. They're for our own benefit. So if we have all these fences on a personal level and on a collective level with the chachamim in our own lives, how does the garbage get in? Right? How come stuff happens, right? So with your permission, I'd like to humbly suggest two ways we can keep our personal fences strong and invincible. So I had five at first. I narrowed it down to two. So what if someone has broken through the fence? And whatever the issue is, what if a group of someones has broken through the fence? What if someone, for example, is harming your child physically or emotionally? Is it too late? Should you assume the fence will fix itself? No and no. It's never too late, and nothing fixes itself. Rise like a lion and chase away the wolf. Shlomo HaMelech says in Koheles, Eis lachshos, there's a time to be quiet, ve'eis ledaber, and there's a time to speak. And the second is our emunah. You have to make sure that the wolf of Yiyush, the wolf of despair, doesn't get through your personal fortress of faith. You can be unbreakable. There are books to read, inspiring interviews of ordinary people overcoming hard tests, shiurim on emunah, caring mentors to schmooze with. And sometimes the solution is as easy as turning on some great happy Jewish music. Music is magical. And with all these options to fight despair, the wall of your deep inner faith will get stronger and stronger. It says in Yeshaya, Kovei Hashem Yachlifu Koach. Those who put their hope and faith in Hashem will have renewed strength. They'll get new koaches. And you know what? Your family will absorb your strength. Your strength will give them strength, even if they never tell you about it. On Shavuot HaBetamaz, the Romans broke through the stone walls surrounding Yerushalayim, and that's how they were able to get to the Beis HaMikdash. We know what Hamas was able to do only after breaking through the fences. So let's undertake to strengthen our personal walls, our personal gates, personal fences, and whatever area they seem to be weakening. For each of us, it's something entirely different. And in this chus of repairing our own possibly broken fences, may Hashem, who loves us infinitely, rebuild the Beis HaMikdash this year in our day. And I wanted to add one more thing. Everyone knows that Shmiras HaLashon is not only important because it destroys people, but it's also a way to unblock the pipes of our tefillos to Hashem. The more we use our mouths for good things, the less blockages there are when we're trying to use our mouths for tefillah. So something that happened to me many, many years ago as a shadchan is I read a shidduch to somebody and the girl said yes. And then she got back to me. Somebody told her very serious lashon hara about the guy. And the guy lived across the world. I don't remember if it was Australia, South America, very far away. And to make a long story short, I didn't believe that this was true. Something told me this lashon hara is motzei shem ra. So I made a phone call to the person who had spoken to her, traced it to the person who they spoke to, and it was about 5 steps until I got to the original person who spread the rumor. Other side of the world. I remember doing this in one day, and this took the whole day because I went backwards and then forwards. I'll tell you what I mean. I got to the original person because I kept asking each person. And by the way, this is also important. When you're getting information for Shidduchim, don't give information. Don't say, is it true that this person is a, axe murderer? That's not how you get the information. You're like, oh, can you tell me about this person? And then from what they say, you can tell what they're saying, what's being said. You don't like offer the information. Just a little tip there. Anyway, I get back to the original person and she says to me, I am so happy that you called me. I finally have a chance to do teshuva. I'm the one that spread the rumor about this person. I saw this person doing something that looked, I don't want to say details in case anyone could figure it out. Even though it's many years ago, you never know who's listening. I saw this person doing something that I judged, I misjudged to be something inappropriate. And I only found out afterwards that not only wasn't the person doing anything wrong, they were actually doing a mitzvah and helping somebody. But by the time I wanted to fix it, it was already like, Lashon Hara was like bigger than me. And now that you've traced it back to me, I have a chance to do teshuva and say it wasn't true. I misjudged the situation and I ruined his reputation. I said, don't worry, I'm going to take care of it to the best of my ability. And I went back. I can't control every single person that heard, but I followed the chain back and I went back to each person. And I said, by the way, I got to the bottom of this. It's absolutely not true. Now, I'm not going to say the story ended with them getting engaged. They each married other people, probably. The girl for sure did, and I don't know what happened to him. But I remember thinking, I remember spending that entire day going from back to back to back until I got to the person who started the rumor, who admitted it wasn't true, then at least was able to tell that chain of people that it wasn't true and save the person's reputation at least a little bit. It's so important to know that just because somebody told you something, I don't care how short their sheitel is or how long their beard is, it doesn't mean it's true. You're not allowed to be makabel. And the best way to remember this is, what if someone was spreading a rumor about you? What would you want the responses of the listeners to be? Have an easy and meaningful fast.